Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4 Imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 118, Online Polling Basics for Business. This episode is presented by 4 Imprint Incorporated Marketing Associate, Guinevere Thompson.
Polling 101, Online Polling Basics for Business. Alyssa Rapp is the co-founder and CEO of a Palo Alto-based wine collective known as Bottle Notes. Bottle Notes specializes in customized and high-quality wine. Alyssa uses online polling on the Bottle Notes website and in the weekly e-newsletter. She also incorporates polling in the online wine encyclopedia and blog. Polling her customer base helps Alyssa think ahead and keep her customers engaged. Quote, polling enables quick market research. My team can create polls online, put them into any medium we'd like, and all of a sudden I get real-time, statistically significant customer feedback, she explains. For businesses, polling is quick and easy to implement and provides relevant information about a particular customer base. For customers, polling represents an opportunity to be heard, and, well, people like to be listened to. Done right, there's a small kind of joy that comes with poll participation. Polling outlets are moving away from traditional methods like face-to-face interviews and telephone calls in order to move into the digital space instead. Online polling is voluntary and therefore less invasive. All it takes is a couple clicks, mere seconds, really. They are seconds that yield very valuable information. When customers submit a personal opinion about something they care about, they provide incredible insight, a critical part of any business's ability to innovate. With it, businesses can become more in tune with what their customers want. Polling implies transparency and a willingness to improve, too. It implies action and a responsibility to respond that ultimately raises the bar and commands customer respect. Use this podcast to help implement online polling in your organization. First, find out exactly what polling is, how it began, and how it has changed since its political beginnings. Then, learn about traditional polling methods, online polling tools, how to gather data from them, and finally, how to use that data to effectively respond to your customers in an innovative and personal way that builds business. Let's begin with some history. To poll a person or group is to find out how they perceive a certain event, product, or service. Polls are designed to represent the opinions of a population by conducting a series of questions and then extrapolating generalities. Very simply, polls reveal opinions. People discovered the value of polling in the early 1800s when it became an important part of presidential election predictions. The first straw poll appeared in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in 1824. It showed Andrew Jackson leading John Quincy Adams in the U.S. presidential election, one that Jackson went on to win. Soon after, polling became a trend in local and citywide venues across the country. Years later, a publication known as the Literary Digest used polling to help grow its circulation base and thus made it a popular nationwide phenomenon. The Digest mailed millions of postcards to its readership and then counted the returns, a system that allowed them to correctly predict the presidential elections of 1920, 1924, 1929, and 1932. By the mid-1930s, the Literary Digest had 2.3 million voters, but most hailed from prosperous backgrounds and conservative leanings, both biases that went on to heavily impact its polling accuracy. Enter George Gallup in 1932. Does that name sound familiar? Gallup poll, anyone? Motivated by the process of objectively determining other people's opinions, George started simply, earnestly. He knocked on doors. George was driven by the idea that, quote, public opinion research is a necessary and valuable aid to a truly representative government. He was also a staunch believer in pure, objective research and never accepted money from outside groups. With this conviction and a smaller, more scientific polling system, George correctly predicted FDR's landslide victory over Alfred Landon in 1936 and many successive elections thereafter. Elmo Roper was another early pollster. Like George, he believed in rigorously upholding sound polling practices. In fact, Elmo and George shared a smooth working relationship founded on their shared conviction that polling was a powerful tool in a democratic society. Even though government representatives are elected to speak on behalf of the people, both men believed public opinion polls let the people speak for themselves. Together, they established the Roper Center, an archive of public opinion surveys at the University of Connecticut. Today, it is a leading education facility in the field. Meanwhile, the Literary Digest failed to correctly predict FDR's 1936 presidential election as a result of the rampant bias within its readership. It lost its credibility as a viable polling outfit and its success shortly thereafter. A more meticulous and fortuitous pollster, George Gallup, surged ahead and formed his own enterprise, the American Institute of Public Opinion, which quickly became the primary polling resource in the United States. Now known simply as Gallup, George's brainchild has grown significantly since the 1930s. More than 2,000 professionals work in 40 offices around the world conducting public opinion polls in both the private and public sectors. While Gallup and other polling outlets play a significant political role, they also contribute greatly to business and industry. As an expedient market research tool to gauge public opinion on new products and services, polling is just as much of a value add to private enterprise as it is to politics. Did you know polling isn't just for politics? Over the years, polling has become a staple for government agencies, educational institutions, private companies, and nonprofit organizations alike. Polling exists to serve one purpose: to help organizations better understand their target audience, customer, voter, or otherwise. The ability to understand audiences and effectively meet their needs is among every responsible organization's first priorities. It has to be in order to succeed. Whether by mail or self-administered survey, telephone, face-to-face interviews, or online, people generally like polling because it is a chance for them to express themselves. Participating in a poll is a chance for opinions to be recorded, published, and used for future ideas. However, there's been a steady shift in polling methodologies, specifically from telephone polling to online polling. The telephone survey response rate was 36% in 1997. By May 2012, it had sunk to just 9%. Some of the reasons phone call polling has become such a challenge is due in large part to do not call lists, voicemails, and, according to Business Week, mounting concerns that traditional polling will become increasingly arduous as more people ditch their landlines for cell phones. All of these factors have made for a grim outlook, according to the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Now, more than 90% of respondents refuse to answer phone surveys. Enter online polling. According to the Wall Street Journal, online polls are fast and often less expensive than telephone surveys. According to Harvard Business Review contributor Alexandra Samuel, online surveys look pretty robust. She writes, "Those customers you want to engage, they're on Facebook and Twitter. Those voters you want to survey, they're on the web. The faster a company can embrace an inevitable tech change, the sooner it can thrive." Even better, online polling is considerably less expensive. Harris Interactive and YouGov surmise that they could introduce online polling that would cut costs by more than 50% 10 years ago. Now there are free tools for online polling. And the best part? Responses are likely to be more candid through the web. Participants are able to take part at their leisure because respondents aren't being queried by a human being. What's more, compared to calling and focus groups, which, while thorough, can be very costly, online polls are economical. They're much less expensive, and all you may need is an email address database to begin. Another alluring element is the appeal of real-time information. For businesses, real-time data is hard to match. Online polling has the power to tell managers and executives what's happening right now. It tells them what clients and customers want, what they need, and how they feel about whether they're satisfied with what they already have. Now, let's do an overview of online polling tools. Dan Beltramo is the co-founder and COO of digital metrics company Visu. He has several pieces of advice on how to use online polling tools effectively. First, poll more than one audience. Make it your goal to understand multiple perspectives. Second, don't be afraid to use the same poll regularly. Use it to track trends. Third, be thinking about new questions and be thinking about new ways to use data from them. And fourth, know that polling takes time. It may take a while before you really understand an issue. Dan's tips can be applied across polling platforms. From PollDaddy to SurveyMonkey to LimeSurvey, there are multiple polling tools to choose from. The first option is PollDaddy. Trusted by Forbes, IBM, The New York Times, and Pfizer, PollDaddy is a product by the same people who created WordPress. With it, you can make your own surveys, polls, or quizzes, gather responses, and develop clear reports to share with others. Their mobile app makes an especially convenient tool. The second option is SurveyMonkey. For over a decade, SurveyMonkey has said it wants to help you make better decisions. And while it's not strictly polling, they do provide opinion polling platforms for more than 12 million large corporations, small businesses, and academic institutions. Their forms come with pre-populated options, a convenient feature that frees the creator from having to create objective questions. Then there's LimeSurvey. LimeSurvey is an open-source web tool for survey creation. It differs from competitors in that it offers unlimited questions and responses without the commercial package obligation, and offers the ability to embed pictures and graphics into survey forms. It, too, offers pre-formatted options to ease the question formulating process. These are just a handful of examples, but they're not the only ones. There is an array of other online polling services to use. Before you sign on to one, ensure that they're a reputable service. Now that you know why polling began, what it can do for business, and which tools can be used, let's talk about the good stuff, like how to bring it to life in your organization. First things first, polling is a collaborative effort, especially for your sales and marketing folks. Bet you didn't think polling would bring everyone together too, did ya? There's an art and science to polling questions. Here's what you need to know about them. Polling is nothing without questions. A good poll is defined by the quality of its questions, or question, rather, as most online polls consist of just one. Always make it a point to ask salient questions that do two things: engage the customer and provide meaningful data for you. Know that you have incredible question-rich resources within reach. Your team, specifically your sales and marketing teams, both are instrumental. In fact, in order to develop a quality polling plan, both teams will have to work together, if they don't already. In some organizations, departments have a tendency of existing apart from one another, in silos. If that's the case at your workplace, embrace a polling initiative as the first step in a closer relationship. Here's a play-by-play of how to begin. First, seek buy-in. Bring together key stakeholders within your organization to introduce the new polling initiative. Explain that it is a simple, fast, and low-cost way to learn more about customers you exist to serve. Positively persuade stakeholders by alluding to other companies effectively employing online polling, like, for instance, Microsoft, McDonald's, and General Mills. Second, meet regularly. Encourage reps from both departments to meet regularly to discuss an editorial calendar of polling questions. Be ready to facilitate these meetings so as to keep everyone on track. remind meeting attendees that the basis of polling is listening to people in a scientific way. Third, formulate strong questions. The real art of a poll is in question development. Polls are nothing without questions. Hone in on compelling questions that get at the root of customer needs and expectations, areas of customer satisfaction and dislikes relating to your product or service. Here are some guidelines to bear in mind as you draft poll-worthy questions. Multiple choice questions are the norm, but yes or no questions work too. Center your questions on thoughts, ideas, and behaviors that directly relate to your product or service. Polls are meant to be quick. Keep questions and answers brief. Polling questions should have one part only. If a question becomes too complex, perhaps you should consider a longer survey instead. Be as specific as possible. If your question requires a time frame, be sure to note that and use the appropriate verb conjugation to match it. Avoid slang and any other colloquial words that may confuse a reader. Strike jargon and technical language from question text. It's never a good idea to use words or terms your audience doesn't know or is unfamiliar with. Be objective. Asking something akin to, "How much did you like the show?" assumes the person responding liked the show, and they might not. Clarity and directness are key. A reader should never struggle to understand something or feel compelled to reread a sentence. A mantra, Strunk and White, masters of the written word, espoused in 1959 that writers still struggle with today. Read through question submissions collectively to catch and correct any glaring errors before they're released to the public. Finally, pick your polls home. Ask your combined teams what they think would count as an appropriate venue for the poll. Online polls make great additions to organization websites or blogs, in emails or e-newsletters, and on social media outlets like Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The intra-office brainstorming surrounding the organization's polling initiative is sure to inspire a more cooperative atmosphere within and among team members. Consider it a secondary benefit of polling that holds tremendous promise. Entrepreneur.com contributor and National Marketing Federation owner Kim Gordon supports polling, the engagement it breeds, and the insight it provides. Quote, "When you combine these tactics for offline listening with online studies, you'll get a revealing snapshot of your actual customer that will inform all of your marketing decisions." End quote. Data extrapolated from polling is a goldmine when it comes to concocting smart marketing moves that will inspire your audience. That's where the real excitement and the real return lie in waiting. Nearly there. The next step is to harness that polling data and put it to good use. An online public opinion poll will inevitably expose areas of your business that frustrate customers. Be sure you're ready and willing to hear that. They will reveal parts of your business that aren't as sufficient as you thought, and you may very well discover that your business failed to meet their needs. Are you ready to hear that? Is your team? That said, polling results will likely require a little bit of rhinoceros skin. Polling data management will also require some fast-acting, whip-smart innovation, because when consumers provide feedback, they expect timely, result-oriented action in return. Here's a simple three-step plan to start with. First, collect data, and collect it well. The numbers will roll in as soon as you open polling. The more polls you have and the more channels you use to disseminate them, the more data you'll have. Store data gleaned from polling in a safe place. Appoint organized individuals to archive the data that streams in from each polling place, and tap them regularly to ensure they're managing it well. And that includes proper storage and backup. Second, simplify the data. Make changes. Polling data holds the key to the kind of change your customers are hungry for. Once you've boiled down the data, come together as a team again to brainstorm next steps. First, determine what you need to do in order to satisfy your customers. Then, decide what kind of changes can be made, if you're going to make them, And thirdly, decide how soon they can be made. Third, talk about the change. Your customers took a chance and participated in your poll. Now you're responsible for closing the loop and responding. You may use information from those polls, and you may not. It's up to you. Once you settle on a course of action, whichever it is, the important piece is to communicate it to your customers. Tell customers that you've received their insight, and furthermore, that you're taking it into consideration. If you're making a change, let them know that you're taking very real steps to do so. And if you opt not to make a change, they at least deserve an explanation. Tell them why. Polling inherently necessitates action. You have to do something with the information you've been given. How you use that information is the critical last step and arguably the most crucial piece of the polling plan. It's where you're able to grow appreciation and respect among your customers. How you react with it is where business becomes personal and convinces new and existing customers that you're worth it. It's a process meant to improve your business, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Lastly, once you begin, you have to keep going. Public opinion research is not an occasional to-do item. This is not election season, and this is not about the time when sales numbers are down. When it lives online, polling becomes a constant. Trust your team members and trust their skills to be able to successfully plan, implement, and manage an insightful online polling initiative. Just be sure to warn them that their polling responsibility entails both creative prowess and crisis management. Finally, a few last words on online polling. Polling isn't just numbers. Polling is about people. It's about a deeper level of understanding of those people. Polling symbolizes openness, transparency, and a willingness to do better, perform better. It's a risk, but it's a risk worth taking. In the end, your audience, your customers, will appreciate you more for it. Asking direct questions and listening closely to the answers is an old-fashioned way of business and marketing to connect with an audience. Polling is classic, and classic never dies. Use online polling to personally connect with your audience and let the customer-inspired creative innovation begin.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on Polling 101. As always, keep on the lookout for our next podcast, Collaboration, a hot mess of growth and innovation. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at www.4imprint.com/bluepapers.